Ladies and gentlemen, girls and boys, welcome to the Brad and Bunny Basketball Podcast, featuring former Sydney Kings captain and multimedia performer Brad Rosen, alongside Australia's longest-serving basketball writer and blogger, Buddy Nodge, and me, Gilar the Invincible, the voice of a man you just had to have. Now, talking all things NBL and WNBL, here's Bradley.
Congratulations to the Canberra Capitals in recording their ninth WNBL championship, beating the Brad Rosen Southside Flyers, who defeated the Botty Nodge.
Oh, Adelaide. Cut it out. You're really stretching there.
Great game. Congratulations. Swept them. Well done, Capitals. Botty, what a win.
Yes, it was sensational. Now, let me ask you this question. The Canberra Capitals came into the WNBL in 1986. We've won nine championships. Perth Wildcats came into the NBL in 1982 and have won nine championships. So which is the most successful franchise?
I'm going to go Perth because they've been in the semi-finals 34 straight times.
Not semis, just in the playoffs. Remember, we've had some 11 teams where we had eight teams make the playoffs and they got knocked out first round. So I'm not quite as enamored with that as I am with the fact that they're going for title number 10. But this is a fabulous performance by the Canberra Capitals. This is the fourth time they've won back-to-back. So yeah, it was a terrific performance.
And what you've got to do is they did it at home in game two, but what a win, which we've already spoken about on our podcast the week before, but what a win on the road. That's what set this up.
Absolutely.
And just brilliant. Congratulations to them. Love the fact that, you know, three players played 40 minutes. The other two were 37 and 35. Just brilliant game for the Flyers. I think just injuries caught up on them, Boddy.
Yeah, a little bit. And I think also... I said it after game one where I thought Cheryl Chambers, the coach of the Flyers, overplayed Jenna O'Hay in her first game back. I thought that she was getting the rotations right there for a while and then got conservative when it got tight, and I don't think that served any great purpose for them. But there you go. That's not Canberra's problem. Canberra was fantastic. Olivia Apupa was fantastic. Kia Nurse. Kelsey Griffin did the things that were necessary for them to win, and Mariana Tyler was solid as a rock. So, yeah, a thoroughly deserved championship.
It was extremely close, as we know. It was only 3 points, but, you know, I looked at the stats, and both teams shot 70 shots for the game. Both shot 38%, right? And then you just go different scenarios, which everyone did a great job. Their shooting percentage from the three was low. The rebounding was very similar. The assists was very similar. The turnovers were very similar. Just everything was just a typical game two of a grand final. Tight, not high scoring, just dogged defense, and a huge congratulations to the Canberra Capitals. I'm disappointed for my girls. I think it's a fantastic season. Yep. You know, the new team into the league.
Oh, don't give me that. You know, I noticed on their uniforms.
I had to dig that in.
I know, but you know how they crap on about how they're a whole new team, etc., which I keep emphasizing. The only team that was built from scratch this season past was the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix. They were built from scratch. This team, Southside Flyers, was the Dandenong rebadged, and a lot of people want to take credit for how great they did in their first season. But I did notice this, Brad, on their uniforms. On the back of their uniforms at the top are the letters DBA, which I think stands for Dandenong Basketball Association. But let's not make that connection. It could stand for something else, you know, diabolical bloody something or other. Anyway, but there you go. I thought
it said, did Brad ask or something like that?
But no,
it
didn't. Brad didn't ask. Brad is happy with his little. He's happy with his state of origin, New South Wales jersey, pretending to be a Southside person. Let me say this, though. I thought Olivia Apupa really did a number on Leilani Mitchell. And on the commentary, they were talking about Leilani being a great pressure performer. And you know what? The record's on the board. She definitely has been a great pressure performer. But her last play before halftime, where she went the length of the floor and just drove in and got blocked by Mariana Tolo, wasn't a smart play. And then with 40 seconds to go and Southside leading 68-67, she turned the ball over. Okay, so these are moments where you go, all right, have we seen the best of Leilani? Is she sort of teetering now and maybe hitting down the other side a little bit? I was just a bit worried because I thought Apupa was sensational, which leads me to this question. What was your highlight?
Well, thank you for leading me straight into that, because you just said it. But my highlight was Olivia Abuba. She was outstanding. And the plays you're talking about, 40 minutes she played, 16 points, 11 assists, 7 rebounds, 3 off a triple-double in a grand final. I mean, I looked down that. I thought Kia Nurse was great with her 18 points. Ariana Tola, 19 points and 12 rebounds. I thought Kelsey Griffin was great. Didn't shoot the ball great, but still grabbed 13 rebounds. Yep. You know, it was a great job by that team. And look, you know, like there's an Olympics coming up, and there's going to be some headache decisions for the coaching staff. But to get back to your question, I thought Olivia was great, and she was my highlight of the week.
Well, she's the race was born medalist, so that's a fair call. Yeah. But you know what amazes me about her? She's 165 centimeters, and she'd have to run around the shower to get wet. She averaged in the grand final series 8 rebounds. Are you kidding me? She averaged 8 rebounds, 15 points, 8 rebounds, 8.5 assists, 3.5 steals. I'm totally with you. Your highlight is a beauty.
Actually, before you come to your highlight, hang on, I just got to ask, when you said you'd get thrown around, what was it, in the shower to get wet? Is that
she'd have to run around the shower to get wet. Yeah.
Right. I was playing in an ABA grand final in 1992, right, and I'm a rookie season, and there was the commentator, and I can't, Templeton? What was his name?
Dean Templeton,
Dean Templeton, that's it, and he was commentating. It was live on national TV, and I'm playing, and this was against I think I've mentioned to you guys before, we were playing Ballarat, which had Eric Cooks and Eric Hayes, and we had Mark Ridlon and Jerry Everett, the Iceman, and, you know, Bobby Croker and Dom Bickett. I mentioned that before. Oh, yeah. And I played in the game, and Dean Templeton said that he wouldn't weigh 5 kilos in a wringing wet raincoat or something.
Have you seen you lately?
Yeah. Now I am the raincoat. Yeah. So when you said that comment, that flashed me back to there. What was your highlight?
Well, my highlight was the fact that we had a game to decider, as it turned out, in the WNBL, where they really let the players make the decision. You know, we're going to talk later about the Sydney Kings and how much overcoaching occurs with that Sydney Kings team. In this final, in the WNBL final, I don't think Paul Gorris did a whole lot of coaching other than he had Apupa, Matty Rocci, Kia Nurse, Kelsey Griffin, Mariana Tolo on the floor pretty much the entire game. He gave Keely Froling just under 8 minutes, so that was the only interruption. So basically he just said, I'm backing my talent. These 5 players are the most talented quintet in the league, and I'm just backing them to win the game, and that's what he did, and that's what they did. They came through for him, absolutely won the game. So I don't think I've seen that before where a coach has kind of taken a back seat and just said, all right, you know, I have faith in you, go and do it. And they went and did it.
Yeah, great point. And just for our listeners, or what are we up to, 11, buddy?
Cut it out. I've been inundated. We're up to heaps of many.
You know what I want to do? I want to name or number our listeners. I want you to get us on social media, and I want to give our listeners numbers, right? So I want to say, you know, like Mike in Perth, our listener number 1.
Yes.
This is what he had to say this week. So for all our listeners, all 11 of you, I want you to get onto Brad and Boddy on Twitter, right, and say there, I'm going to be listener number bang, right? And if you're the same as someone else, we'll fire back at you and let you know you've got to be a different number. But I do want to say to that, Boddy, for all our listeners, just make sure you stay tuned to this one, because I know where you headed with this, Boddy, and there was only a couple of substitutions and how beautiful it was to see Canberra. Like you said, 3 players had 40 minutes. The other 2 had 35 and 37, and both of those minutes were made up by Kira Folling with no other players playing, and they won a championship. It's a very interesting point you make. Great, great, great point.
It's NBL Rap Time.
So let's go into the NBL, Boddy, and I want to talk. Let's start with your highlight of the week. Go for it.
Oh, gee, my highlight of the week. Possibly the fact that Melbourne United was able to rack up 11 fouls in the first quarter of the semi-final game 3 against Sydney in Sydney. That has not occurred in a single game this season, okay? So for that to happen in a deciding semi-final game, anyone that wants to say that the referees are not intimidated by crowds or do not respond to crowds is dreaming, because that was, I mean, you can't say, hey, there was, you know, something odd was going on there, because the owner's team, Larry Kisselman, owner of the league and owner of Melbourne United, they were the ones that were copping it. So you can't sort of make any kind of crazy assertions as to why that happened, beyond the fact that the refs were just calling amazing nonsense on United. They gave 15 free throws to none in the first quarter. Now, I know there are people who have come out and said, oh, stop focusing on the refereeing, stop focusing on the officiating. But it's important, because if I go into a basketball game, Brad, you've been in a dozen or more of these big game sort of situations. You go in there and you're out there to play your best. Oh, you got a quick foul. Or, oh, you got another quick foul. Now you got two fouls. Now your whole demeanor, approach, everything to this game has just changed. You're subbed out, you get back in the second quarter, you're pooping yourself that you don't pick up your third. So you're no longer playing with the abandon and the aggression and whatever you wanted to show at the start. You're now concerned because of the officiating. So don't say that it doesn't play a role. And then in the end, when people are saying, oh, in the end game, Sydney was much better than Melbourne in the end game. Well, you know, fair enough. But what was the circumstances as they got into the end game? Which team was in better shape in terms of mentally just running into it?
Yeah, look, it's a great point you make. And look, I can talk from both sides. As a player, it's very hard when you're in that foul trouble.
Yep.
I thought Dean Vickerman had a great timeout in the third, I think it was, or I can't remember when it was, probably was in the fourth, and he looked at Sean Long and he said, mate, you got four fouls. Don't be soft. Foul out if you got to. I like that coaching where he's just like, mate, there's no, you should be attentive out there, go for it. So I can see it from that side. On the coaching side, where I've been there and done that as well, my answer is as a player, you've just got to try and take that out of your system. So much easier said than done. And when you've got 13,000 people screaming down on you, and let's be honest, people in Sydney, like now, you know, Sydney felt, well, people feel Sydney got the, you know, really helped by the referees. People say that in Perth every time they play. It is something that goes with home court advantage.
Yep.
It is tough. All I can say is there were some calls on both sides that were good and bad, but you know, like you can't worry about it. That's the problem. I say to my team when I was coaching, and I remember that I say the one thing I say is what we don't want is we don't want to get to the end of this game and then just say, geez, man, we got the rub of the green there really bad, and then we head down the highway. Do you know what I mean? Like, you got to try and not let that affect you and just do the best you can. But I get it, buddy. I get it. It's a tough situation. You know, you got your big guys. I think Sean Long had four, Dave Barlow had four, and that changes the complex where, Absolutely. You know, a Tate and a Bogut can go to work.
Yep. And, you know, I thought Chris Goulding was sensational with his second quarter, 14 points and 19 at halftime. And then they did do a good job of shutting him down. Can't take that away from Sydney. But I still thought, even down the crunch time when Melbourne was ahead 85-84 and Kevin Lish hit that big three, the biggest three of the game, did he just give Melo Trimble a little bit of a shove out the way that the referees chose not to pay any attention to? Did Melo bump him beforehand that the referees
should? I think I might have missed that play, buddy. I'm not sure.
Yeah, they missed it on the call as well. They didn't choose to mention it either. So I just I said to you this time last week, I said I would be happy to see a Melbourne Cairns final, but a grand final, but I didn't think that either of them had a chance of getting through because of, I mean, I tipped them because on merit, I felt they had the better series. Both of those teams had the better series over the other teams that are now contesting the championship. But I just wasn't sure that game threes would be decided on merit alone.
Mm. Well, look, I did pick the home team. Probably for a number of reasons, and one of it is it's easier to play at home. And that leads me into my highlight of the week. And this is going to shock you because I'm talking about the Sydney Kings, who I am harsh on, by the way, buddy. But no, for me, for
South a team side's that, out.
South yeah, side's yeah, out. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Who's South side? You mean the Flames?
Yeah, right.
So for me, I thought for a team that everyone wrote off saying you've lost by 45 points, you're done. I looked down at that bench the other night and when they lost by 45, Sydney, that was in Melbourne, and I looked at them. And the one thing I could sense, and don't tell me how, is I just was looking at a Bogut and I'm thinking to myself, mate, this guy's been in 7-game series where he's lost on the road, and he will probably go into that locker room and go, man, it's 1-1. I don't care if we lose by 100, it's 1-1, let's go. get this done. And I felt they did that. I thought their energy was great in game three. The way that they bounced back, not many teams who have who have been on top of the ladder every single season, every single round of the season. Then they go into semifinals and nearly lose game one, which would have been detrimental. Lose by 45 in game two. So out of a 40-minute game, they literally played 6 minutes of good basketball, right? That was the last 6 minutes of the first game. Then they had to come home and beat a very, very powerful Melbourne United. I got to give credit where credit's due, and that's to them.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to give it to the officiating panel, but there you go.
Oh, hang on, let me just get that knife out of my back.
I have no problem with Sydney and Perth contesting the championship. They were 1 and 2. They were the two best teams of the league, you know, so I don't have any problem with that. I just don't, you know, it just leaves a little bit of a sour taste when you go, let it be determined on merit. I mean, the referees are only human. They're going to be influenced. But I just thought they really lost the plot a little bit in that game and were just calling crazy stuff that you just normally wouldn't even bother with. So, yeah, I think that after two magnificent game one and twos in both series, I thought game three was a little, in both of them, was just a little bit disappointing in the way they actually played out. But that's
fair enough. Both teams are on Thursday night, and I'll just very briefly, 93-82 for the Wildcats. I thought Tirico White, well, that was his best game. You picked that. You said he's going to come good. Nick Kay was great. He had 24. Bryce Cotton, only 5, which was a worrying sign for the Sydney Kings, which proved to be the case. 2 of 16, when that guy ever has a quiet game, he bounces back in the next game, which he obviously did, and we'll talk about that in a second. And for the Sydney Kings, well, you said it, and they got it done, and only just at home. But I thought, you know, they did enough to obviously win the game, and that was 89-87. And now we're on to the grand finals. So just wrap up what you felt of the semis. You said both teams are in there. Great season for Cairns and Melbourne. You want to finish on that?
Oh, yeah. Look, I think Cairns was just the most fun team to watch over the year. I thought Phoenix started that way. If we're going to go the whole year, Phoenix started that way too. They were really good fun to watch at a time when Cairns was still finding their feet. And then when Phoenix went off the boil, Cairns started to look really good and won some big games. I think they were the big surprise of the season. I think everyone other than Cairns fans, and maybe even Cairns fans, didn't expect them to do quite this well. And Melbourne United, they had that sort of stuttery start to the season because of their NBA.
Not a great year.
But they're in the middle there, when they sort of got Casey Prather on the floor a couple of times, they started to look like they might be something. And then they kind of just, they had to finish strongly to make it. And I thought their performance in the playoffs, their fans should be very happy and continue.
Yeah, I agree. I was one that at the beginning of the season when we spoke, I said I thought Casey Prather was going to win the MVP because I thought that signing was a brilliant signing for them. Obviously, it's been shown that he hardly got on the court. And when you take a player, you take Bryce Cowton out of Perth, that's what they've done out of Prather, right? Prather is that damn good, right? Yeah. Now, you know, maybe not as big as a player as you know, a Bryce Cotton when you've got other players like Goulding and, you know, Sean Long and Trimble around you where Perth don't have that caliber, although close enough. I just saw Casey Prather. So for Melbourne, they will look back the injuries and everything that happened, but the one thing that I don't think you can take away is they just didn't look like a happy group at times. And I like Cairns never looked like that.
Cairns is always happy. Yep.
Yeah, the correct. New Zealand went through that really bad time. Phoenix never did. I don't think they looked that bad. They didn't win games. Brisbane were up and down, but I just thought the mixture of Melbourne, they looked like a divided team. Adelaide was a train wreck, and we know that with what's happened over the last few weeks. But, yeah, I thought that was a very interesting way.
That said, though, I do think that there were elements of Melbourne United, that team was still trying to find its identity pretty much right to the end, I think. And if you put a healthy Casey Prather in there and you bring the rest of that group back, you know, Stanton Keith gone, but you bring a healthy Casey Prather, Melo Trimble a year older and a year wiser in terms of what that team requires him to do to be successful, I think there would be a major contender for the championship next season. If they can bring the bulk of that group back.
Would you bring Sean Long back?
I'd bring Sean Long back, but I'd be tempted to pension off David Barlow now.
Right. I love Sean Long, and he was great in the final series. I just felt there was a bit of a disconnection sometimes between Dean and him. Like, there was times where they weren't happy. When he's good, he is so good. But yeah. When he's bad or not so good, he seems to bring the team down with him. I think, you know, you look back as well and say your starting point guard that was recruited was coming off the bench because he couldn't get it done.
I don't know about that. He couldn't get it done.
So you just think Shea Ely fitted the team better?
Yes, I think because of the way Melo plays or has played, which is he's a shoot first point guard, whereas Shea Ely is a pass first point guard.
So if you're the coach then, and I'm sorry, I'm putting you right on the spot now. If you're a coach now where you're building a team around Golding or you're not building a team around Golding, would you just say, I'm happy to keep Ely and bring him off the bench in that way? Or no, I'm going to go and get a pass first point guard?
I like the way it worked out. I thought Ely was terrific for them, especially during the playoffs. I thought that worked. I thought when Trimble came in, he had impact. I didn't really see a downside to it other than the fact that, you know, you'd say, well, we've got an import here and he's coming off the bench. Well, there are imports that come off the bench. That doesn't mean they're not major contributors. So I thought, as I said, they were still finding their identity right to the end. And I think they found it during the playoffs. And so, I think next year they should be next season they should be very excited about their prospects if they can bring back the bulk of this group.
All right, let's move on. Game two. Obviously, the Perth Wildcats won up 88-86. They beat the Sydney Kings on their home court. I want to talk about that game and then we'll move into game two. Okay, that's on Friday night. So let's talk, which is 2 days away. Let's talk 88-86. Perth.
Okay.
Bryce Cotton. Wow.
Fabulous. Yep. Now, Bryce Cotton has averaged 33 points against this team in four regular season games. So it's not like anything he did should have been a surprise to them. I mean, they should be pleased they kept him below his average. They kept him at 32.
Well, they got no answer to his on ball and his pin downs. Yeah. They have no answer to it. Now, you know, like, you can turn around and say, well, let's double the on ball. They haven't done that all year. So you can't go changing that now. So they've got to make some change or he's going to get 40 in Perth.
Yeah. And honestly, I think the way they're approaching it is, well, we were on top of the ladder for 20 out of 20 rounds. We had Casper Ware go 1 of 14 in this game and 5 turnovers. That's never going to happen again. We had Jay Sean Tate a bit down on his scoring. We had Brad Newley only get 4 points. And we lost by 2. We lost by 2. We don't have to do too much. Let's just go over to Perth and we'll just kind of tinker and we'll be all right. That could be the prevailing attitude, Brad. And if it is, they're staring at 0-2. Because they have to make some changes. And one of the changes is Will Weaver has to stop freaking interfering with the game. Let his bloody team play. Let some guys get some court time. Listen to this. He made 46 substitutions in that game. That's a 40-minute game. You know, do the math. That's more than 1 a minute. Right? That's what it works out to.
Wow. 46. I didn't know that. Okay, yes. How many Perth, mate?
22. And in the last quarter, when the game was there to be won, Will Weaver made 16 substitutions and Trevor Gleeson made 3. Okay, so that's the difference between settling your lineup, guys getting comfortable, getting to play well. Look, I could not believe it. Jay Sean Tate, an all-star, opening shot, 3, nothing but net, rips the ball away from Nick Kay, goes the length of the floor, dunks it, 5-0, they're up. Psh, sub, get him off. What the hell are you doing? It's 7-17. He's played 2 minutes and 43 seconds. That was bloody ridiculous.
I must admit, when he took him out, I actually thought he must have rolled his ankle on the dunk or something. I'm going to be completely honest because I was like, what are we happen? Do you know what I mean? I was actually a bit shocked.
I can't agree with you because
I thought he had an injury. I'm not saying he's right.
No, but I'm saying Xavier Cooks was already sitting there ready to sub in. He was already sitting there. It's almost like Will Weaver just loves his game so much that he didn't want to take him out of the starting lineup. Xavier Cooks talked him into that and said we'd be better off if Brad started because Brad can hit some threes and then he can go to the hoop and, you know, he can cause some problems for the defense and then I can come in. So he talked Will Weaver into doing that and Weaver got him in within 2 minutes and 43 seconds. And I think he's just trying to get too many guys in the ball game. Kevin Lish is kicking butt in the third quarter. He's hit 3 threes. He's fouled another one. He makes 3 free throws. He's got 12 points for the quarter. Do you recall much of him in the last quarter? I mean, geez. Now, Sydney Kings fans, you're going to hear this and you're going to go, well, hey, come on, mate. You know, we were top for 20 rounds. That's the way we do it. So we're going to stick with that. Okay, well, you stick with it. But, you know, I'm thinking it's better to settle some people into the flow of the game, get a quintet working well together, than make – like Casper had the worst playoff game of his life.
Yeah.
Sean Bruce wasn't going too badly. I might have been tempted to leave him in a bit. You know, make the subs that are intelligent. Make the calls that are going to help you win. And, you know, I know you can say, well, Will Weaver, you know, he did a lot of subbing at the end of the game in for defense. A lot of that stuff is just BS to me anyway. It's just overcoaching. And it's not just overcoaching. It's interfering. Let them play. Pull your head in. Sit down. Have faith. That Sydney Kings team is the most talented roster that we've seen in yonks. Right the way through. They've got an NBA first-round draft choice and champion in the center and an MVP of our league a year ago. They've got a bunch of Olympians. They've got Lish, who's an Olympian and naturalized and a two-time medalist. You just keep going through it, Casper Ware. You just keep going through that lineup, Newley, Kicker. You know, it's phenomenal. Let them play. Get out of their way. Just look, get out of their bloody way. Shut up and let them play.
Yeah, look, it's hard to argue, and, you know, I've sat there and watched a lot of games this year with Woolworth because I'm there and commentating, and you can't argue with the way he coached because they sat on there on the top of the ladder every single round, right? Yep. They've won their semi-final series. But I must admit there was times that I looked there on the weekend, and I don't say, what are you doing? I'm saying, I would love to know what's going through his mind. And as a coach that I was and am, I guess, I'm intrigued at what he's thinking to sub a guy out quick. Like, when you look at that starting five – in a 40-minute game, how much do they actually play together?
Yeah.
So what was it, 2.5 minutes in the first quarter? And then with all the subbings and stuff, would it be more than 10 minutes?
Yeah, I don't know. Can't answer that.
Yeah, so it'd be an interesting one. And, you know, I look at the numbers and I think Casper Ware played close to 33 minutes and goes 1 of 14. You know, you can sit back and go, mate, Kevin Lish played 21 minutes, had 17 points. I think he was 62% from the field, like 5 of 8. Mate,
get him on the court.
Shouldn't you just let that ride? And when I saw Sean Bruce get that wide open three, and unfortunately for him, he missed it, and he had a good game, I'm thinking, man, Kevin Lish was knocking that down all night, you know? So he was 4 or 6 from the three. But again, and I'm not trying to protect him because he's got a Sydney Kings, he's got nothing on it. It's hard for us to see it because we're not coaching a team that sat in the ladder on top of the league all year. But for me, you ask those questions. That's what our job is, to question those things.
But here's a question for you.
It's interesting.
Here's a question for you that directly relates. During that whole season, how often did he have this lineup? Because there were times that there was a long period where Lish wasn't playing. There was a period when Luzada wasn't playing. They didn't have Cooks. There's a period when they didn't have Moller. So now it's almost like under 12 basketball. You've got to give everyone a court time. You've got to get everyone in. So, you know, I think that's a bit of an issue. If you haven't got your rotations worked out by now, you better pull something out of a hat in Perth, because those Wildcats, they just go about their business. They just take care of business. Trevor Gleeson sets Bryce Cotton up to score, and he does. Yeah, well, Nick Kay is a monster. Nick Kay's a monster. We don't even talk enough about how good Nick Kay is and what he brings. And then Damo, leave him alone in the corner. You know, Cairns didn't even guard him in the semi-final series. They did not even defend him. But when push came to shove and Bryce drives in the key and draws all those defenders and kicks it out to Damo in the corner, that's nothing but net. That's who the Wildcats are.
No, look, we're old school. And, you know, for our listeners, you know, we grew up in basketball where you had 7 or 8 players, and this is how it was. Your starting five would always play the bulk of the minutes. You got your 6, 7 would be rotating in and out to give those guys substitutions. And then you've got your 8 to fill the role. Your 9 and 10 are used when they need to do spurts. And that's how we grew up, right? There wasn't 12 players. And that was in a 48-minute game.
Yep.
To be able to play... coach the way you do in a 40-minute game, if you want to get players in and out like you're talking about, like he's done, I mean, 46 subs to 22, that's just phenomenal. 16 in the last quarter to 3, wow, great stat.
Ridiculous. Yep.
There is no other way that's going to happen if it's a 40-minute game. I mean, Bogut, you could argue, had the best game of his season, 18 and 11, but only played 24 minutes. Should have he played more? you know? Yeah,
exactly. Well, he's, 20, the last yeah. 7 weeks he's been managed.
Yeah. So, it look, great point, Boddy. What a game win for a game two. Who you got?
Well, at this stage, I've got Perth because I haven't seen Sydney make too many adjustments along this course of this season. So if they don't make any adjustments, I mean, they have to, but if they don't, and the history is that they haven't, then Perth is going to win and they're going to come back into Sydney to zip ahead. They'll probably drop in Sydney and they'll go back and win in Perth. That'll be my prediction for it.
What's yours? 3-1. You're saying 3-1. I'm saying that this game is it on Friday night. For the Sydney Kings, they have to win this game because I cannot see them or any team ever beating Perth 3 games in a row, right? So if they go down 0-2, it's done. I am going to go for the Sydney Kings to win. And the reason I'm doing this, and it's got nothing to do with I'm a Sydney man, every time the Kings have had adversity this year, they bounced back. And
you know
I'm
what?
Going for once more.
You know what I heard? I heard the last time you were in hospital, they cut open your arm and on one side you bled gold and on the other side you bled purple. So I think that may be a factor in your decision making. Now, give me your Rosen Rattler.
Uh-oh. Rosen's Rattler.
Oh, God, I love you, buddy. My Rattler. I'm going Trevor Gleeson. That coach does not get enough recognition of what it's like. Yells and raves and rants on the sideline. That was what I was like as a coach, but I love it. I love how he's down on all fours, like, yelling at the referee. That was cross-court when Didi Lazada hit that dunk. But got this backcourt, and then he got the steal and got the dunk or whatever it bloody was. I just love Trevor Gleeson, how he lets players play. Now, this has got nothing to do with Will Weaver. He has put Bryce Cotton in a position to succeed. That guy had 32 points. He had 40 the other day. He runs his sets. He runs his plays. The players, like, you look at these guys and they are just a happy bunch. They know their role. They do it bloody well. Clint Steindl, he's just a dagger. Damian Martin playing a different role now. Jesse Wagstaff, you could have said halfway during this season, mate, I don't know if he'll play on next season. Look at him now. Yep. He's a catalyst to that team. He's playing unbelievable. Then Tirico White, Plumlee, all of that, Mitch Norton. But I just want to give kudos and my Rosen Rattler, without a doubt, Trevor Gleeson, outstanding coach.
Here comes Nudge's Nasty.
All right, my Nudge is Nasty this week is not all that nasty, and it flies in the face of everything we've been saying. I thought the refereeing in game one of the grand final was very good. That's all I want to say.
That's all you got?
That's it. They were good. Listen, I've had a crack at them for being bad. They were good. I thought it was a fairly well-refed game. You know, there weren't so many blatant calls where you go, oh, geez. You know, there were some calls, but there always are. There was, you know, players make mistakes, referees make mistakes. That's fine. I just thought both teams were given a chance to win that game, and it was in their own hands. It came down to it. You know, Casper makes that three, or he makes a pass and they get a two. I mean, they could have tied it, could have won it. So it was left to the players to determine it. No one was out of there because of foul trouble. So I just thought it was a well-refed game, and I hope game two is a follow suit.
Well, I think that's a good point, and the reason I want to say that is I can't think of many times during the game thinking, oh, that's a big call, or what was that? So a good game is where the refs aren't noticed. So I do agree with you. Boddy, before I come to you with one more thing, I do just want to give a shout-out to a friend of mine. His name is Richard Bradley. And unfortunately, he passed away recently. He was the assistant team manager of the Sydney Kings. His funeral was on Monday. With great respect, the whole Kings team was there. I went to the funeral, and there was guys that I played with, Ben Knight, in 1997. He was the chairman of the fan club, and I had a lot to do with him over the years, especially when the Kings were coming back. He was then assistant team manager to Laurie Watterson over a number of years. His beautiful wife, Deb, they were just a lovely couple. And it is with a saddened heart that I say that Richie Bradley passed on. Great guy, great team guy, loved by everyone. And it was beautiful to see the whole, like in 1997, there was a couple of players, and then from every era. So Luke Kendall was there, BJ Carter was there. Then you got all the teams from now. I know Brian Gorgian sent his well wishes. So a shout out to Deb and the beautiful family that he has. And I just want to say our condolences to the Richard Bradley and his family.
Fantastic. Yep. May he rest in peace.
Body, I just want to finish on your articles, BOTINAGY.com, BOTINOGE.com, greatest writer in the world. Mate, you've got a ripper of an article. Everyone's got to read this today. It came out yesterday, actually, so you've got to read it today. Should Kings fans be alarmed? I thought that was a ripper of the one, and I am just going to share one line, right? I'm sorry. It talks about the substitutions from Will Weaver. And to finish it off, you go 16. This is about the fourth quarter. 16, overcoaching there much with a question mark. Weaver was more hands-on than Harvey Weinstein. Boom. You are the man, mate. You are the man.
Okay. And I want to thank Joseph Kaur, who produces our show for us, for doing a lot of that legwork in terms of finding out or the and total amount of subs, etc. That was a very, very useful stat. Okay. We'll see you next
Joseph's
week.
Joseph's great. Yeah, Joseph's great. He's got his own podcast, the NBL podcast. He's absolutely brilliant, and he's been phenomenal for us. Body, thanks again to all our listeners. Sweet. Make sure you get us on our Twitter and tell us what number you are as well. I really want to get that going on. I think that will be fun. Body's going for Perth to win game 2, Sydney to win game 3. I'm going for Sydney to win the next 2. So they'll go back to Perth. It'll go in 5 and the Kings to win it at home. Come on, Body. Have your last word.
No. Like I said, you bleed gold and purple. So that's got to be taken into account. Good night, all.
Enjoy the grand final, everyone. See you next week.